Utah has long been touted as being the happiest state in America, while paradoxically ranking amongst the highest in the nation for suicides and antidepressant use. Longstanding theories on why this trend affects Utah and other nearby states have ranged from cultural influences to rural living and higher rates of gun ownership. However, University of Utah professor of psychiatry Perry Renshaw's research is showing that something much more basic may be behind these somewhat incompatible rankings: altitude.
I think if you look at the maps that show these very funny phenomena of people both largely feeling good but also feeling bad, it really is the mountain areas that are implicated. And as you can imagine, across the Intermountain West, there are states with quite different regional variations and cultures. So just looking at oxygen in the air seemed like one simple way to begin to try and understand what might be happening.
Renshaw says when he first moved to Utah, he was shown a map of the United States. Plotted on it were suicide rates.
Because I had this fixation on altitude, we got on the internet and looked up the altitude of states and sort of plotted things out, and there was this amazingly strong correlation between altitude and rates of suicide.
Renshaw, who studies neurochemistry using brain imaging techniques, eventually calculated that as much as 25% of the variation in rates of suicide across the nation could be uniquely attributed to changes in altitude. Eventually, he decided to focus his research on how high altitudes and the resulting low oxygen levels affect how people's brains work.
There's some critical neurotransmitters in the brain that help the brain communicate within itself. One of them is serotonin. And serotonin is the critical neurotransmitter that modulates mood and anxiety. And animals that go up into the mountains or simulated mountainous environments, levels of serotonin go down quite a bit, and they go down very quickly. And so one would predict or expect that in people who were either genetically predisposed or who didn't make quite enough serotonin, that they would experience new onset symptoms of both either depression or anxiety.
At the same time, other neurotransmitters are going up.
Low oxygen also increases the levels of another neurotransmitter, dopamine. And what we think that dopamine does in the brain is that it basically regulates anything that one would do that would be pleasurable or enjoyable. So more dopamine generally means feeling better.
These changes in brain chemistry have some profound effects on people with mood disorders, Renshaw says. Those who suffer from anxiety or bipolar disorder on the coast may see their symptoms worsen, sometimes drastically when they move to higher elevations. For those who suffer from depression, traditional methods of treatment may not work in the mountains simply because their brains aren't producing enough serotonin in the first place.
If you had normal serotonin levels, you'd release normal serotonin levels into the synapse, the space between the nerve cells, and that what these drugs do is they block the reuptake of the serotonin, so more of the neurotransmitter sticks around and communicates the serotonin signal. But the experience of being at altitude is that in response to hypoxia, your brain doesn't make as much serotonin, so there's less serotonin to block the reuptake of, and so the effects of standard treatments may not be as powerful.
With that knowledge, Renshaw is now trying to find a more effective treatment for depression than the traditional go-tos such as Prozac and Zoloft. At the same time, he says elevation isn't all bad. In a paper currently under review, Renshaw claims increased elevation has a positive impact on those with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, a dopamine imbalance.
In the Intermountain West, we actually have rates of ADHD that are about half those observed at sea level. So in this case, the effects of altitude of increasing brain dopamine levels is treating for many people some of their ADHD symptoms.
When he first released his findings, Renshaw says people in Utah tended to be skeptical. As time has passed and more research has been conducted, Renshaw says other researchers are now coming to support his findings. Though better ways of treating depression and other mental health disorders are still on the way, that doesn't mean doctors can't use this information. Renshaw says just warning patients of the possible changes to their health before a move to a higher altitude can allow them to make sure they have a good support system in place.
Just some degree of reassurance and education and planning ahead can make a big difference in terms of how people weather a transition.
While altitude may have an impact on depression and suicide, Renshaw says his work doesn't negate earlier theories about culture's role in the problem.
Nothing that we do means that people who study cultural impacts on rates of suicide or depression are incorrect. In fact, these are perfectly complementary and probably additive effects. And so we're by no means saying that the problem of suicide in Utah is due strictly to altitude, but rather this is one of several factors, one that we find particularly important.
The goal now, Renshaw says, is to get enough grants to pay for a clinical treatment program. For now, he says a paradox is still the best way to describe what's happening in places like Utah.
Well, I think the paradox is a nice way to think about it because it gives, you know, both the good message that we've all sort of observed in terms of our friends and neighbors feeling happy living in the state of Utah, but also makes it clear that for some people it's not a completely happy set of circumstances moving.
With Utah Public Radio, I'm Elaine Taylor.